So you guys, the big goal today is a right relationship with God and time as he created it. So again, the big goal today is a right relationship with time as God created it, with God and time as he created it. I want to start out with a story, and there's a guy named Tony Campolo. He's been an international speaker, somebody that I've heard of for years, and he's also a college professor. And Professor Campolo was in a class one day. He was teaching freshman students, and there were a bunch of them, you know, young, bright-eyed freshman kids, and they were sitting out, and Tony Campolo started teaching, and as he was teaching, he turned to an unsuspecting freshman on the front row, and he said this to the freshman. He said, "How long have you lived?" And the freshman, of course, kind of shocked that Dr. Campolo was talking to him, said, "I am," and then entered his age. So he answered with how old he was. And Dr. Campolo said, "No, I didn't ask how many years you've been alive. I asked how long you've lived." And then Tony Campolo proceeded to tell a story about 1944 when he was in the fourth grade. And as a nine-year-old, Tony was in an elevator, and he went all the way up the top of the Empire State Building to the observation deck, which is on the 86th floor out of the 102 floors in the Empire State Building. And the elevator rolled up to the 86th floor, and Tony Campolo, as a nine-year-old kid in 1944, stepped out of the elevator onto the observation deck and cast his view out over the city. And Tony Campolo said, now again, all these years later, he was in this class talking to his students. He said, "When I looked out over the city," he said, "I don't care if I lived a million years, I will still remember it." He said, looking out over the city from the 86th floor as a nine-year-old kid, he said, "I had never seen anything like it." He said, "In that moment, I was fully alive." He said, "I lived that moment. And if I live for a million years, I will always remember living that moment." Tony Campolo turned back to the freshman student on the front row, and he said, "Now, with that definition of living," he said to the student, "how long have you lived?" And the student kind of bumbled around and said, "Well, using that definition, maybe a day, maybe an hour, maybe a minute, maybe 2 minutes." And so the question for us this morning is, how old are you? Yeah, that's the first question. But then how long have you lived is the real question. And time is measured in minutes, but life is measured in moments. And as we think about time and we start to try to get a right concept or a right relationship with God and time the way that God made it, we have to start thinking about time, not just in chronological time, chronos is the Greek word, but in actual, the substantive or nature of time, the moments of time. There's chronos and kairos, and kairos moments, moments. So time is measured in minutes, life is measured in moments. And we want to close the gap between the time we've lived chronologically and the type of moments that we're living in our lives. So to goal today, a right relationship with God and time as he created. So I'm going to give us three thoughts today about time and the way that God created time and how we can relate with that. So number one, as you're taking notes, is here's our first thought for today, is that time is a human limitation and a human stewardship. So the way that I wrote it out is time is a human limitation and a human stewardship. You know, in Genesis 1:1, the very first verse of the Bible and the very first chapter of the Bible, one of the most theologically rich verses in the Bible, it says this: "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, again, that sounds like a very simple, almost childlike book statement. Like once upon a time, kind of we pick that kind of thing up. If you pause and think about this, in the beginning of everything we experience, God. So in the beginning, God. So there's a first theological big idea, is in the beginning, God existed. God is a non-created creator. God is an eternal being that was never created. He has always been, he always will be. And in the beginning, and we say in the beginning for us, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Let me tell you what that means, is it means that God exists outside of created time and space. Now that right there alone is a huge mind bender, that God exists outside of time and space, which he created. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I'll paraphrase it like this. In the beginning, before there was time, as we understand it, God existed and God created the heavens and the earth. He created time and space. God exists within that time and space, but God also exists outside of that time and space. God manifests Jesus in time and space, but God the Father exists outside of time and space. God exists in both realms, created time and space and before the created time and space. Now you and I, and this is what's so interesting, you and I actually are created in time and space, but we're invited into eternal life, which would be the realm beyond created time and space. And we'll talk about more of that in just a minute. But we start to see in the scripture that a day to the Lord is not really the same as a day to us. A 24-hour period to us may not be the same as a 24-hour period to the Lord. The Bible says, better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. And then in the New Testament, it says, one day is as 1,000 years to the Lord, and vice versa. So what that means is that the Bible is poking out this idea that time to us is not the same as time to God. Ephesians 3, 8 through 9, I want to read this to you, and this is out of the Message paraphrase. It says this, Paul's writing to the church at Ephesus. He says, don't overlook the obvious here, friends. With God, one day is as good as 1,000 years. 1,000 years as good as a day. God isn't late with his promise as some measure lateness. He's restraining himself on account of you. Now, this scripture is talking about Jesus coming back at the end of the age. It says he's holding back the end because he doesn't want anyone lost. He's giving everyone, watch this, space and time to change. So right here in the scripture, what we see is that God is actually holding back the end of the age, as we understand it, the end of created time and space, in order that we have space and time to change. And so one day is as 1,000 years, 1,000 years is as one day. And what the Bible's getting at here is this idea that God created time and space, but he exists outside of it. And we exist in time and space, although we can step into a realm that exists outside of it. So here's the big idea for point one. For God, there is no past, present, and future. For God, God sees all of it in the same view. So just like we are living this moment right now, God can live a moment, past, present, future. All of that is wrapped up in one moment. Now, I can't see the future. God already knows the future. And we timestamp God with our created time and space, the time and space we exist within. We timestamp God with that. But God is not timestamped by our experience, by our frailty and fallibility as human beings inside time and space. And so the concept here is that there is created time and space, and then there's eternity. And I'll just take a little pause here and kind of take a little sidebar, if you guys would sidebar with me. Does that sound like a good plan? Let's do a little sidebar here. Do you know, we talk so much about when we die, we're going to go to heaven. Can I expand that idea a little bit and move us beyond just we exist here and then we exist in a place where there's clouds and angels and harp music and streets of gold? Can I challenge you with this? Is that right now you exist in time and space and creation. But when you accept eternal life through the person of Jesus Christ, you actually not only are translated from death to life in the sense of when you die physically, you'll exist somewhere else, but you take that invitation to move from created time and space to eternity. And that when we die in our bodies in time and space, it's not so much that we just relocate somewhere else. It's that we begin to experience time in a whole different way. We move out of the realm of created time and space into the realm of eternity. Time is a human limitation and therefore a human opportunity. So as I said, time is a human limitation. It's also a human stewardship. And as a closeout point one, here's what I want you to know is that time is something God created and then put us into. And that means that it is a limitation on us right now. It also means this, it's a stewardship for us right now. That time is a resource and time is, we manage it, we steward it because it's something that God's created for us to live within. So the first point is a simple one, but time is a human limitation and a human stewardship. Second point today, idea around our relationship with time, is that we are living forward, but God is working backward. Now, this has been actually really challenging me, and it's been really encouraging me and inspiring me lately, and I hope it will do the same for you, is the idea that without thinking about it much, I am living my life forward, right? I'm living toward the future, which I don't know what's going to happen. But can we flip that around and understand that God already knows the future and he's actually working backward toward us? It's like my pastor talks about an analogy of, he calls it train cars, tracks, and future cities. And he talks about the idea of if there's a train car full of people, and he's using it as a business organizational vision analogy, but he says if there's a track, a train car, and then there's people, and you want to get those people to a future city, what you have to do is twofold. You have to first build track from where the train car is forward, and then you have to go to the future city, and you have to build train track back from the future city toward the train car and the immediate track. And what you're trying to do is build the short-term track and the long-term track so that they meet in the middle, so the train car gets to the future city. And I think that we think about time as we're in the train car and we're trying to build track forward. And what we miss is that God is already in the future city building train track back toward us. This is an incredibly encouraging idea for me, because what it means is that God already knows up the road. He's already making provision for me up the road. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works." And we'd say, of course, I'm in the train car and I'm building track forward. Watch this. "Created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." What that means is, yes, that I'm doing good work moving forward, but it also means that God is doing good work moving back toward me, that we're living forward, but God is working backward. And I liked this little phraseology that came out of the Win the Day book. It said, "God's blessings are chasing me down from behind, and God's sovereignty is bearing down on me from the future." God has set things up for us that we know nothing about, and our surrender, obedience, and faithfulness matters because our track is moving toward the track that he's working backwards from. And so Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 builds out this idea again. It says this in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. It says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses," that's actually an incredible scripture right there. What that means is that there's people that have gone before us and potentially even people, who knows, but there's a great cloud of witnesses of people that are living outside of this time-space continuum, and they are actually cheering us on. That means Abraham, Father Abraham and King David and who knows who else is actually like a cloud of witnesses surrounding my life. I was talking to my wife recently and she said, we're like running a marathon race. That's like, it's a multi-leg, you know, baton race where you hand off. She said, we're running our leg of the race. And what's amazing is that we took that baton from the past, but we're also going to hand that baton off in the future. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race," ready, "marked out for us." Verse 2, "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus," ready, "the author," that's the beginning, "and the finisher," or the perfecter, "of our faith," that's the end, "who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." And right there, you guys, we get Jesus is the author, he's in the past, he's the finisher, he's in the future, and right now he's sitting at the right hand of God, he's in the present. And right there in Hebrews 12, 1 through 2, we get a great theology of time and the way that God understands it. We are running the race marked out for us. Jesus is the author, the finisher, perfecter, and sitting down at the right hand of God. Now we see this all through scripture. John 8:58, Jesus says this. He says, "Very truly I tell you," Jesus answered, "before Abraham was born, I am." Now Jesus is manifest in the flesh in a time and space in Jerusalem, right, in the early ADs here. And he's standing as a man, also as God. And what he says is, he says, "Before Abraham was born, I am." He's in time and space, but he's existing outside of time and space. Do you see that? John 17:5, it says, "So now," Jesus is praying, he says, "So now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had in your presence before the world existed." So Jesus is manifest in time and space, talking, praying to the Father, and talking about, hey, God, now is the time for me to experience glory the way I had in your presence before the world existed. And there we see time and space, and outside of time and space. Check this one out, Revelation 13:8. Again, we're just doing Bible study here this morning. Revelation 13:8. Watch this. All who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. Now, this is interesting because it actually says that there's a book of life, but it says that Jesus, the Lamb, was slain before the foundation of the world was laid. So what that means is that God knew Jesus was going to manifest in time and space and be slain on the cross as the Lamb to pay for the sins of the world before he ever created the world. That is such a fascinating concept to me, that we understand that we're living forward, but God's actually working backward. You say, Pastor Scott, that's all really cool, but that's Jesus. I mean, of course, Jesus can live in time and space and then not in time and space. Well, you know, this filters down to us because God is working backwards, not only in the story of Jesus, but God's working backwards toward you and toward me. And check this out. In Joshua 6, 1 and 2 in the Old Testament, we have an example where they're going in to try to take the promised land. And I'll take that analogy and put it into your life and into my life. I don't know what your promised land is. I don't know what the goal you're working toward is. I don't know what the frustration you've not yet fixed is, but whatever it is, think about it as a city that's walled off and barred, okay? And we say, man, I wish I could get into that city and do something, and I'm living toward the future to try to fix the problem. Here's what's fascinating is right here in the book of Joshua, they're living forward toward the future, but God is working backward toward them. Check this out, Joshua 6, 1 and 2. Now the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. Pause. The Israelites are trying to take over Jericho, and it says Jericho's gates are closed and barred and sealed off. That is the present reality. Jericho is done. It's closed. You can't get in. Check this out. No one went out. No one came in. That's the reality. But watch this. Then the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have delivered, ED, past tense, I have delivered Jericho into your hands along with its king and its fighting men. So the present moment is the city is barred and locked up. No one's going in. No one's coming out. But that's the reality they're living toward. But God shows up and says this, I've delivered the city into your hand. They were living forward. God was working backward. And I have delivered is past tense. There was a city transfer. So let me ask you the question. Had the transfer of Jericho to God's people happened yet? Don't move too quick. Stop and think about it. Had the transfer of Jericho to God's people happened yet? Was it future or was it past? And the answer is yes. Right? Because we're living forward and the manifestation of space and time, they had not yet taken over the city. But in God's reality, God had already delivered the city into their hands. It was past tense. It was done. And they were living forward and God was working backwards. Say, how is this possible? Because this starts to like boggle our mind a little bit. I don't know if you remember, I'm dating myself probably a little bit, but back when I was a kid, we used to read these stories called Choose Your Own Adventure books. Do you guys remember this? Anybody remember this? If you remember, you can throw in the chat or something, maybe what your favorite Choose Your Own Adventure book was. I remember there was one about pirates, and it was like, you know, there was like treasure maps, and then, you know, you'd get to a spot, and it would say, do you want to go toward the palm tree with the coconuts, or do you want to go into the cave, you know, and pull out your sword? And and then it would say, if you want to go toward the palm tree, turn to page 14. If you want to go into the cave with your sword drawn, go to page 37. And then you'd make a choice of your own free will. And as you made a choice of your own free will, it would dictate an outcome. You would go to a different page based on the decision that you made. Now, here's what's fascinating to me is that the author knew the outcome of the decision you were going to make before you made it. But the author wasn't dictating the choice to you. Now, when you made the choice, you'd go either to page 37 or 14 or whatever, and then you would read, and then there would be another set of decisions you would make, and you would make those decisions on your own free will. And what would end up happening, choose your own adventure books, is you would eventually get to the end of the book based on the decisions that you made. And now here's what's fascinating to me is that in this analogy, it's not a perfect analogy for the sovereignty of God and our own free will. And that has been debated for centuries and millennium. And so I don't pretend to tie that up in a neat bow with a kid's book. But I will say this, there's some threads here that are really interesting. The reader has a choice. The author knows that whatever the decision is, they know where the reader's going to end up, but they're not dictating that choice to the reader. And again, this is a very clean line example of this. And if you're trying to just apply it directly to God, it doesn't work. But here's what I want to say is if we can see this principle fairly clearly in something as simple and elementary as a children's book written by a human author, what do you think is possible with God? And so here's the idea, is that God knows what we're going to choose before we choose it, but he's not enforcing the outcome, although he knows how to get to his will and outcome by using our free will to get there. I know that boggles our mind, but here's what I want to say. God can know what the future is and what the outcome of your decision will be without enforcing you to make that decision. So in a very real way, we can say that God is absolutely sovereign and that God's will be done, and we know that. And we also know that God is sovereign in as much as he has limited his sovereignty to a certain degree to give you and I free will to make decisions as we will, at least for a time and for a season. And so it's a really interesting thing. It's a very complex thing. We'll talk about it more, I'm sure. We'll read books about it and we'll have debates about it. Here's what I want you to see for today, is that we are working forward. And as we are doing the Choose Your Own Adventure book, if you will, we don't know what the end is. God knows what the end is, and he knows what the outcomes of the decisions are. And he's working backward for our benefit and for his glory and for his kingdom. And it changes the way that I live my life, because I know this, every step of obedience, every step of faithfulness, every step that I don't understand but trust God means that I build that track forward toward the track that he's building backward. We're living forward, but God is working backward. Number three, third point today is this, is that we must steward our time beyond ourselves and beyond our moment. So this is true if God created time and space, and it's a human limitation, but a human stewardship. And if we're living forward in that reality, but God's working backward toward us, then bringing those two ideas together is this, is that we must steward our time beyond ourselves and beyond our current moment. Hebrews 11, 1 through 3 gives us this principle of this idea of two creations, that there's always an internal creation and then there's a manifestation creation. There's like an internal creation and then there's a physical creation. So there's a creation of will and then there's a creation of manifestation. Hebrews 11, 1 through 3 says this famous passage on faith. It says this, now faith is the assurance of what we hope for and the certainty of what we do not see. Some translations say what we do not yet see. Verse 3, by faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what's visible. Now, what this means is that even with God, he obviously first had an intention to create the world and then to create us, that the first creation was in the mind of God, in the heart of God. And then as God created in his mind and heart, he spoke, and out of his words, the manifestation of what had been created on the inside of him came forward. And can I tell you that we're created in God's image? You and I are created in his image. We are created in the image of the Creator. You and I have the ability to see an internal or a creation of our will that then manifests out into a physical creation or a creation of manifestation. And so God created with his will and then it was manifest, and we can create with our will and then it gets manifest. Now, Dallas Willard talks about this in a book called The Divine Conspiracy. And what he talks about is he said that you have a kingdom that God allows you to have. And the way he defines a kingdom is it is the realm of your active will. Basically, the will in which you can make a decision or a choice and it impacts the world around you. And you have a realm of kingdom or will, and so do I. and so does God. And for a season, God has allowed us to operate within our own kingdom, our own will. And then, by the way, he's asked us to surrender that to him so that, again, we can build our track forward and he can build his track backward. But that's another point. What I want to illustrate for us is that we do create first internally what then ends up manifesting externally. And this is not just New Age philosophy, although I understand and recognize it kind of sounds like that. And this is a quote, not from the Bible, but it illustrates truth that does come out of the Bible. And it's a famous one. You've probably heard it, but if you haven't, I'll give it to you here. It says this. It says, "Watch your thoughts. They become your words. Watch your words. They become your actions. Watch your actions, they become your habits. Watch your habits, they become your character. Watch your character, for it becomes your destiny." And we can see this step down here about how we go from thoughts to words to actions to habits to character to destiny. And in a very real way, we create once internally, and then that ends up manifesting out externally. And we have some vague understanding of how this works in our lives. But here's how I want to apply this for us practically. I want you to not only think about your own life, because I just showed you how it works in your life. It goes from thought to word to action to habit to character to destiny. And we see this incremental stepping, putting one thing in front of the other, and how the invisible will level creation manifests out to something else. Okay, you followed me on that. Watch this though. I want you to apply that now, ready, to generations of people. And I want you to apply that now to eternity. Because we're human beings and we so live in time and space that we miss how God views time. And we think about our lives as just living forward for a short 80, 90, 100, 60, 70, whatever, however many years we live. And we think about this process in realm of our own life, in our own moment, in our own destiny. But I want to challenge you to think about it for generations at a time. What would it look like if we started stewarding our time, not just for ourselves and for our moment, but for generations and for eternity? And I talked about a digital clock versus an analog clock. And the digital clock is the time it is right now. And the analog clock is showing you what all the time is and then what time it is right now. What if we change the way we live our life from the digital clock, which might represent our life, our moment, ourself, and we started living in an analog, winding the clock kind of way where we started living our life as the analog clock. We see God's past and we see God's future. We see that I'm living forward, but God's moving backward. And I started to live my life and steward my time in such a way that I lived in light of eternity, that I lived in light, as Hebrews would say, of the great cloud of witnesses, the ones that have gone before and the ones that will come after. What if I started living my life in such a way that I took the baton from the past and I moved my leg forward and handed it off into the future, and I no longer lived for self and for my moment in time, but I lived in an analog clock, if you will, generational and eternal kind of context, and understood that what I do today matters beyond my life and my moment. And I want to ask you a question, and this has been a powerful analogy for me for years. I'll give you a little contextual kind of teaser as we get into this analogy. But did you know that right now, if I were to go out and sit in the shade of a tree, I'd be sitting in the shade of a tree that someone planted 50 to 100 years ago? And if I were to go out today and plant a tree, plant an acorn, let's say, that 50 to 100 years from now, someone would come along and sit in the shade of this tree that I planted. And this is what I'm saying, is that we got to start stewarding our time beyond ourselves and beyond our moment. We got to stop doing the digital clock thing and start doing the analog clock thing. Now, I want to ask you this question. When you plant an acorn, what do you get? And it's not a trick question. When you plant an acorn, you get an oak tree. When you get an oak tree, what do you get out of an oak tree? Well, it's not a trick question. What you get out of an oak tree is you get more acorns, right? And then if you plant those acorns, what do you get? And it's not a trick question. You get more oak trees. And then if you get more oak trees, what do you get as they grow up? You get what? You guys are following me? More acorns. And then as you get more acorns and you plant those, what do you get? You get more oak trees. And so here's what's really interesting is that an acorn goes from a single acorn to an oak tree. And an oak tree goes from a single oak tree to multiple acorns. And multiple acorns go into multiple oak trees, which go into even more acorns, which go into forests. And forests go into lots of acorns and lots of oak trees and, ready, lots of forests. So I'll ask the question, how many oak trees are in an acorn? And then you could ask the question, how many acorns are in an acorn? And then you could ask the question, how many forests are in an acorn? And then you could ask the question, is how many forests are in an acorn? And the truth is, all of them can be in an acorn. And you plant that acorn and over generations and time and build out, and it becomes oak trees and more acorns and forests upon forests. And so I have a question for you. As we steward our time beyond ourselves and beyond our moment, what is in your life? What's in my life? When we plant our life and we're faithful and we're obedient, and we say, Pastor Scott, I mean, I've been planting my life for 20 years, for 30 years. I've been doing it. And you know what? All I see is, you know, like a little oak tree. Well, you know what? Oak trees grow up and they give off more acorns. And those acorns grow up and give off more oak trees. And those oak trees grow up and give off more acorns and give off forests. And you know what? Your life can be part of a generational legacy of Jesus' people. We've got to start seeing time. We got to get a better relationship with time and God and the way that He created. The Bible stories that we read in minutes took years. The Bible stories that we read in chapters took generations. Abraham waited 25 years for God to fulfill His promise. Joseph's life went from bad to worse for 13 years, but then he saved a nation from starvation. And then hundreds of years later, the Hebrews were in slavery in Egypt. And then hundreds of years later, 400 years, right? Moses comes along and Moses brings deliverance and Passover from God's people out of slavery through the Red Sea into the desert. Joshua takes them into the promised land. King David rises up and unifies God's people. They go into exile. And then, you know, they come back. Solomon's temple rebuilding all the way up to Jesus. And then Jesus invites in the Gentiles and the entire world into the story of God's people. And you and I are living in the shadow of that run. What we read in minutes took years. What we read in chapters took generations. Pentecost, they sat in a room for 10 days and did not know what they were waiting for. They sat. Can you imagine just sitting in a room? Jesus said, go to the upper room and just wait. And they're like, no, Jesus, you resurrected. We're going to go change the world. And Jesus is like, no, go in the upper room and just sit there. Just want you to wait. And here's the idea that I want to challenge you with. They're sitting in the upper room. And I believe they're counting up the days. It's been 2 days. They're looking at their digital clocks. We've been here for 3 days. We've been here for 4 days. We've been here for 5 days. We've been here for 6. We've been here for 7 days. We've been here for 8 days. God, when are you going to do something? We've been here for 9 days. We've been here for 10 days. And all of a sudden, as they're all in one accord in the upper room, it says that God's Spirit, the Spirit of the living God who existed before all of time and creation, came into one moment in time and space and infused the disciples with power from on high and went in, and the Holy Spirit invaded them. And here's what I want you to think about is the disciples were sitting in that room counting up 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, 5 days. God was watching the room counting down, knowing that on the 10th day, He would infuse them with His power and presence, and He was just waiting. On day 5, the disciples were like, it's been 5 days, we're moving on to 6. On day 5 to 6, God was like, all right, we moved from 5 days to 4. Now we only got 3 left. Now we only got 2 left. And the disciples are twiddling their thumbs, looking at their digital watch. And God has His analog clock. And He's like, 2, 1, Holy Spirit, power and fire on the earth. And I just want you guys to start thinking about the fact that God views time differently than we do. In Ephesians 5:15 through 16, it says this, be very careful then how you live. not as unwise, but as wise. Watch this, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. And we need to be making the most of every single opportunity. We need to live as wise in unwise, wise, not unwise. We need to live carefully and pay attention to how we live. Pastor Mark Batterson in the book, Win the Day, says this. He says, first, don't get too discouraged if your dreams take a lot longer than originally planned. Maybe God is doing something bigger and better than you originally thought or imagined. In the words of Oswald Chambers, God's aim might look like he's missing the mark, but it's because we're too short-sighted to see what he's aiming at. And I want to just continue to stir us and hopefully inspire us and challenge us that as we're counting up, oh man, ain't nothing happening. God is counting down. And as we're building tracks from the train car forward, God is in the future city waiting for us and building tracks backward toward us. And that's why it matters. The little things we do every day that move us forward toward God's destiny for us, we're counting upward. God's counting backward. And we need to steward our time, you guys, beyond ourselves and beyond our moment. I'm going to close with this story. Some of you know the Oasis Element story very well. Some of you may not, but we are currently obviously exist as a church called Element. And before Element Church existed for 5 years, there was a church called Oasis that we ended up intentionally shutting down and converting into a launch team. And we launched Element out of that church. And some of you guys have been around from the very beginning. And man, what special relationships we all have together. But there's a story where we tell the story from Oasis into Element. And then if we go back even further, sometimes I've told the story about how in 2007, I was working at General Motors and I was in the jobs bank and I would every day go in and I would pray. We'd lay up under this table and we'd pray and we'd worship and I would journal about the church that we're all living in right now. And sometimes I tell the story all the way back to 2007 and how God stirred my heart and I wrote this vision down and here we are living it out in 2021. And it's this really cool thing. Oh my goodness, a decade and a half, give or take. And you go, wow, that's amazing. Can I tell you something? That is a digital story. That's the digital watch story. Do you know that there were people praying for our church to be here in East Lansing before any of us were alive? Do you know that we are the living answer to someone else's prayer on this campus and in this city? Do you know that I had the privilege and the opportunity to meet a lady named Jane, who was in her 90s, and we prayed together at the East Lansing Prayer Room several years ago, and Jane was in her 90s. She wore those white shoes with the big old fat soles on them. Do you know which ones I'm talking about? And Jane would kind of shuffle her feet along. She's this beautiful, older woman of God. And I remember being multiple times in the prayer room with Jane. And one day after prayer, I got to sit and talk with Jane a little bit. And she told me a story about how her kids, a long time ago, like decades before I was born, went to Michigan State University. And how she used to intercede on her face for her kids. And she used to pray for the churches in the city, and she used to pray for the ministries on campus, and she used to pray that God would meet her kids while they were here at Michigan State University decades before I was born. And I remember thinking about Jane faithfully praying in the 40s, in the 50s, in the 60s, in the 70s. And then I reminded myself that Jane was just one lifetime before me that I actually got to sit in the prayer room with her. And I started thinking about the people that came before, the people that planted and launched the People's Church in East Lansing, the people that came before there was any churches in East Lansing, and they laid on their faces in log cabins and in backyard whatevers, and they called out to God on behalf of the city that you and I are standing in right now. And then I think about the hundreds of years before that and the thousands of years before that. You guys, we live digital time. We need to move to God's analog time. And I ask myself the question, what if Jane had not faithfully prayed for all of those decades? What would my life look like? I'm not quite sure, but I believe that In 2007, when I was on my face at General Motors under the table, that Jane's prayers were speaking to me. And I believe that as we're here, even gathered today on screens and phones and internet, and there are people that are watching this video from all three time zones in the United States, and some of us are gathered together in living rooms, that Jane's prayers are living on in us right now. We are the answer to her prayers. And I want to ask you this question. What does your future look like? You don't know, and I don't know, but I do know this. God's blessings are chasing us down from behind, and God's sovereignty is bearing down on us from the future. And I'm going to be speaking over the next weeks and months about some of the things we're sensing God doing in our midst. But I can tell you this, you guys, I have a deeper and greater sense than I've ever had that God's sovereignty is bearing down on us from the future. And that, hey, Element Church, you guys have been faithful in this season. You guys have continued to lean in and go hard in the pain and go hard with obedience and go hard with sacrifice and give and pray and lean in and ask God to speak and open your hearts. And can I tell you something? We've been building tracks forward from the train car. And I believe with every fiber of my being that God is building tracks back toward us. And it matters. Winding the clock matters. And God's goodness and blessing is chasing us down from behind, and his sovereignty is bearing down on us from the future. So you guys, as we've got to steward our time beyond ourselves and beyond our given moment. So as I close this morning, Ephesians 5, 15 and 16, be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity. The King James version of that scripture says redeeming the time, using the time well, making the most of every opportunity, because God sits outside of time and space. Time is a resource and a stewardship. And that's why serving him is always best. Because even when it doesn't make sense to us, God sees every time we give, every time we serve, every time we sacrifice, every small moment of obedience. It matters beyond our space and our time. So the big goal today is a right relationship with God and time as he created it. And I pray, you guys, that we'll win the day and wind the clock. Let me pray over us. Father, thank you for this morning. God, thank you for speaking to us about time. And God, I pray that we would continue to get a revelation, God, of time and space. You exist within it, and you also exist from outside of it. And God, we exist within it, but God, we're called to a realm in eternal life. And God, we start eternal life with you when we receive you as our Lord and Savior. So God, we really are people that are living in two realities. We're people that are living in time and space and human limitation. We're also people that understand that you've gone before us, and that as we move forward and work forward, you're actually working backward. The end is established. You're holding it off for a season, God, in order that we would have time and space, God. God, to grow closer to you, to learn who we are, and God, to do your work and to see your glory come to the earth. God, we pray the prayer that you taught us to pray so long ago. Our Father who's in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it already is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us what we need today to do the work, God, to work toward what's already in existence in your kingdom and is already manifesting and coming. And God, teach us to forgive those who've trespassed against us. God, we ask for your forgiveness of our trespasses as well. And God, we just thank you, God, for that reality. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it already is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And so, God, I pray that over us as a church and as a people. God, I pray that you would increase our expectation and our anticipation of what's possible, God, in our lives individually, and God, also of our life corporately as Element Church. And God, I pray that you would continue to build out, God, an analog understanding of time, that we'd see the past, that we'd see the future, that we'd see the present, and we would know, God, that all of it is in your hand in a single moment. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. And just in kind of a spirit of prayer here, if you've never started a relationship with Jesus before and you want to do that, can I tell you, he wants to invite you out of the realm of simple time and space into eternal life. He wants to have a relationship with you. God made you and created you. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God created you and he created me. And he asked us to come back into a right fellowship with him. The Bible says in Genesis that we actually went our own way, that we chose our own way, that we chose sin and selfishness, that we missed the mark of God's plan for our life. You probably can feel that if you've never started a relationship with Jesus, you probably can feel that over your own life. I remember when I was 19, I remember making an exasperated confession to God. And I said, God, if you want my life, you can have it because I'm not doing anything good with it. And if that's you today and you want to just surrender that life to God, I will promise you he will come in and he will take it and he will make beauty for ashes. He will give you the oil of gladness for mourning. And so I can promise you that. And if you want to start a relationship with Jesus today, pray this with me. Just say, God, thank you for your son, Jesus. I believe he was your only son, that he died on the cross to pay for my sin. I receive that sacrifice on my behalf right now. And as I receive that sacrifice, I believe that I'm reunited with you, God, in new life, eternal life. And God, I'll live with you, not only now in my physical body and time and space, but I'll live with you for all of eternity, not just heaven, not just a location, but in a reality of time for eternity. Thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. And if you prayed that prayer today, would you let us know that? Would you text the keyword element to 97,000 on your phone and you'll get a link to your phone. Click it. There's a form there. We call it a Next Steps form. It's the same form we talked about connecting with us at the beginning of the gathering. But there's a box on that form that says, I started a relationship with Jesus today. There's another one that says, I'd like to be baptized. Make sure you click those two boxes, send it to us, and we'll get you an email back to help you get started out in the right foot with our Element family and in your relationship with God. And we hope that you'll do that. Guys, we're going to take these moments, and I pray and believe that God's speaking to our hearts about the way that we steward time, the way we understand time. And I believe that the Holy Spirit's going to speak to you whatever you needed to hear out of the message today. So I want to ask you this question as we move into worship. What was the number one thing that you heard today from the Holy Spirit? And then number two, what do you need to do this week because of it? Let's take those questions. Let's move into worship, and let's turn our focus to God this morning. Let's worship.